I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and some of you can sympathize, some can wonder what it was like. But if you go back then, or if you listen to 98.7 on the radio and listen to some of the popular American icon tunes in those days, you appreciate some of the music. In fact, one of my favorite groups was a group that had a brief spate of popularity in the 1970s. They were the Carpenters. If you know their songs, Karen Carpenter especially had that textured, deep, sultry voice that is just beautiful. And some of the songs they sang, the words were as haunting as the melodies were beautiful. One of my favorites, partly because of the music, but partly because of the words, I found so disturbing, was a song that she sang that went, it was called Goodbye to Love. And she said, "I'll say goodbye to love. No one ever cared if I should live or die. Time and time again, the chance for love has passed me by, and all I know of love is how to live without it. I just can't seem to find it. So I've made my mind up. I must live my life alone. And though it's not the easy way, I guess I've always known I'd say goodbye to love. There are no tomorrows for this heart of mine. Surely time will lose these bitter memories, and I'll find that there is someone to believe in and to live for, something I could live for. All the years of useless searching finally reached an end. Loneliness and empty days will be my only friend. From this day, love is forgotten. I'll go on as best I can." And I remember listening to that song and being somewhat envious of them. They were so talented, so rich, and obviously she was singing a song that, from all appearances, didn't apply to her. Except if you know the rest of the story for Karen Carpenter, you know that at the time, those words were matching the personal struggle she was feeling inside. She felt unlovely, unwanted, she couldn't match up to other people's expectations of her. She struggled with anorexia. Finally, just 10 years after she sang that song, she died in her early 30s. And it was a kind of a sense of loss, realizing that here's someone who people thought had it all, who struggled with such a deep sense of inadequacy. Well, about the time Karen Carpenter's song was reaching the top of the pop charts, there was another terrible event that happened with a lady who was struggling with inadequacy. I met a fellow named Gary Richmond. He actually was on Chuck's staff in California, ministers to the single adults at the First Evangelical Free Church. He wrote a book about his life. It's entitled Life is a Zoo. He worked for 7 years as a zookeeper. And yet, knowing Gary and appreciating the tender heart he has, you have to realize the tough background he came from. He was an unwanted child. His mother had her tubes tied, yet he was born. She struggled with depression and eventually committed suicide. His father died when he was 12 years old. He saw his father die in his mother's arms in their house. Just incredible difficulties. But he talks about his mother and the struggle she had, and he says, to make a long story short, I want to simply tell you where it all went. My mother continued to attempt suicide, 7 times in all, involving overdoses of prescription drugs after she cut her wrist the first time. On her 7th attempt, she succeeded. I was 26 years old, and my father had been dead for 11 years. Pinned to my mother's chest was a simple message, which was handed to me when I picked up her personal effects from the hospital. She had neatly written the note on a scrap of typewriter paper and pinned it to her flannel nightgown. It contained 3 words which I shall never forget: unwanted, unneeded, unloved. And he goes on to tell how that's haunted him the rest of his life, that she could sum up her whole life in those 3 simple words. But you know, we look at people like Karen Carpenter or Gary Richmond's mother and we say, oh, it's so tragic. We look at the prayer request we had today and say, it's so tragic. And yet every one of us here at Dallas Seminary, the people around us, some in our home lives, in either immediate family or extended family, in the apartment complex or neighborhood in which we live, in the church in which we minister, we're confronted all around us with individuals who are hurting, who are needy, who put on masks but are living lives of quiet desperation. And yet our danger in being at Dallas Seminary is that we can fall so much in love with studying and learning the Word of God that we can become coldly professional and get wrapped up in the studies and yet become very clinical and superficial in dealing with others. So in a very brief time we have together, I want to take 3 snapshots of one individual in the Bible and in these very brief scriptures, try and paint a picture of someone who was not only brilliant, not only a marvelous individual, but who had a heart that I think all of us could imitate. His name is Dr. Luke. It's interesting, Luke wrote more of the New Testament than any other writer, and yet he never even names himself once in his book. Luke is only named three times in the entire Bible, and they're all in Paul's say hey sections. You know, at the end of his epistles, he'd go, oh, say hey to so-and-so, say hey, and so-and-so says hey. Those are the only times Luke is ever mentioned in the New Testament. I want you to turn to each of these. They're very brief. The first is Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul's in prison. He's writing to the church in Colossae. By his side in prison is Luke. Luke had accompanied Paul. Actually, Luke had spent 2 years with Paul when Paul was in Caesarea in prison. Luke was one of the two individuals who rode with Paul on the boat that made its way to Rome. Luke was part of the shipwreck in Acts chapter 27. Luke came to Rome with Paul in Acts 28 and stayed with Paul while he was in prison there for 2 years. Paul then writes to the people in Colossae, gets to chapter 4, and in verse 14, as he's in the say hey section, he says, our dear friend Luke the doctor and Demas send greetings. Just a brief note, but it's the one place we know definitively that Luke was a medical professional. He was a medical doctor. Now, we know that also from reading his writings. There's a few glimpses and hints, but this is the one spot. Evidently, Luke ministered physically to Paul, to others around him. There's an intriguing passage in Acts 28 when the shipwrecked group land on the island of Malta. Paul heals one individual, and then Luke says others came and uses the word therapeuo. They weren't miraculously healed. They received medical treatment. So evidently, Paul's conducting his ministry. Luke's conducting his beside him on that island in Malta. But he traveled with Paul and ministered physically to the needs of Paul, to the needs of others. And we catch a glimpse of him as not just being a professional, a doctor, but he's the beloved doctor. He was someone that people cared deeply for because he had a heart. The second passage where we see Luke mentioned is in Philemon chapter 24. That's one of those great books. You go, okay, now where's that at? You go to Hebrews and back up, and you end up in Philemon. Actually written to the same place that Colossians was written. Paul again ends with a series of greetings. And he starts in verse 23 of Philemon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. And then he summarizes them all, my fellow workers. Luke wasn't just a physician. He wasn't just this coldly clinical professional who was helping people. Paul considered Luke a fellow worker in the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, if you trace Luke's involvement in the book of Acts, Luke shows up when the book switches from they were doing this, they were doing that, to and then we did this. The very first mention of Luke, the first of those we sections in Acts, takes place in Acts chapter 16. And I think Luke, in his very first mention, sets the stage for what he viewed his ministry as. In Acts 16:10, it said, after Paul had seen the vision, the Macedonian vision, we got ready at once. That's the first occasion. Here's Luke now joining him. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Luke didn't just stay as the cold professional. He saw that he was in the ministry for Jesus Christ, and Paul recognized him that way. Now turn back just one more book from Philemon, and we get the third vision of Luke. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Paul's now writing, being imprisoned again for a second time in Rome. He's expecting death at any time. Everyone around him saw that things were turning against Paul, and they began abandoning him. And Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. By the way, did you notice in Colossians, it was Demas and Luke. In Philemon, it was Demas and Luke. You come to 2 Timothy, Demas goes, so long, Paul. I've been with you up to this point. Now it's gotten too tough. I'm abandoning you. He deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Now, some other people had been sent away for other ministries. Crescens had gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Luke was the one who ended up standing with Paul when he needed a friend. This whole section in Timothy talks about people deserting him, people abandoning him, but Luke stuck it out. And in fact, he set in counterpoint to Demas, the fair-weather friend. Luke stayed with Paul. If you stop and think, all around you, in your classes here at Dallas Seminary, wherever you're staying, wherever you live, in your church, if you scratch just beneath the surface, there are people who need friends. They need someone who can come along, who can minister to them spiritually, who can show love to them, even when they don't seem lovable, who can show them that they're friends. And if you become that kind of an individual, you will have the impact on their lives that Luke had on the life of Paul, that Paul could look at him throughout his life as one of the great trusted companions. Last November, my father went into the hospital, had heart bypass surgery. And if you've been through that, you know, they talk about it being routine, or almost routine. It is for everyone unless it's your family. My one brother was out of the country, couldn't come, so I went up to be with my mom. We sat for days in the hospital as we went up and down through all of those agonies of this emergency, doing well, not doing well. While I was there, the nurse came out of the intensive care the one time and said, well, your doctor in Dallas called and was checking on your father. I said, oh, who's that? She said, well, Dr. Swindoll. He'd called into the intensive care unit, identified himself, and they gave him a full update on where my dad was. He called several times to check on my dad. I got back from that time up there happy but totally exhausted, totally worn out. On my desk was a little note, and it said, Thursday evening, November 10, my dear friend, you've been through a long and lonely journey these past several days. I understand. I've been there with my dad. So many, many times you have come to my mind. Each time I've sent a word upward and sensed the reassurance that our God is in the heavens. He's done what pleases him. We're grateful your father is enjoying such a remarkable recovery. What a great feeling is relief. With a smile that says, welcome back, Chuck. You know what that means to someone? You have the ability to minister to someone just like that. You have the ability to be a Dr. Luke to people around you. Take time to minister to them, sometimes physically, sometimes spiritually, sometimes emotionally, but be a friend to the people around you, and it'll multiply your ministry for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Luke. Thank you for his stick-to-itiveness, his unconditional love, his willingness to put his own life on the line for a friend. All of us, Lord, desire to do that, and yet we become so self-absorbed that we sometimes forget to look around and see those in need. Lord, make our hearts sensitive today and the rest of this week. Help us to find someone we can put our arm around and just show them that we care. In Jesus' name, amen.